from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's a place called Ocean Avenue. Kirk Cousins' playlist continues to rock through the Kansas City sports world of 96.5. The Fan, the guy just knows good music.
Knows how to make money.
Whose playlist you got? We got Kirk Cousins. Excuse me?
Yep.
Happy birthday, Kirk.
Yep. Good guy. Solid guy. Terrible close. 96.5 The Fan. Dusty Likens with you. Bob Fesco as well. Mac Morey, our executive producer here on Fesco. And Dusty, damn glad to have you on a Tuesday. Everybody's back to school. I've had my buddies text me. We're all getting older, Mr. Fesco. We're all in our mid-30s. Buddy mine, Robert, not the Aussie, the other Robert, said I had to drop off my baby girl to school this morning. It was cool, but also sad. I'm glad I was in the car by myself.
Yeah, what grade?
I think first grade.
Ah, big
or
one.
Or kindergarten.
Kindergarten is a big moment. Yeah, it's fun. It's fun. It goes so damn fast. Enjoy every moment of it. That's why, like, you know, last night, you know, you got to throw the first pitch out to your dad, threw a dart. It was a great first pitch. I mean, you had that moment with your dad, and at 37 years old, you still love those moments. My dad turned 75 tomorrow, and I still really? Love those moments with my dad. Yeah.
What's your dad's name?
Bob.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So very original.
Should have known.
Probably the last two Roberts out there, really. I mean, your friend Robert. There's not a lot of Roberts and Bob and Bobby's running around anymore.
There's
right?
one Bobby running around crazy.
Yeah, me.
Yeah.
And so.
Oh, it is Tuesday. I forgot about that.
It is Tuesday, yeah. Oh, big day, yes. Okay. Naked Tuesday.
He said bacon,
what?
Right?
What?
Bacon
no,
Tuesday?
I don't know. Not a lot. Those bacon chicken grillers at Hy-Vee. I got one in the refrigerator. I may eat later today. Oh, my goodness, so good. Have you had one of these chicken grillers at Hy-Vee wrapped in bacon? Oh, my goodness.
Have I had one?
Oh, it's so good.
I get the cowboy one.
The cowboy one is good. Yeah. The cowgirl one is good as well. They're all good, every single one of them, but I got one sitting in the refrigerator from the other day. I'm like, I got to reheat that for lunch today.
Mm-hmm.
What were we talking about? You got me distracted
about,
by chicken grillers.
Something about
at
your dad, Roberts.
Oh, my dad's 75, yeah. And you know, I still love the moments with my dad. And last night, you got to share that moment with your dad throwing out the first pitch, mm-hmm. which was spectacular. You did an unbelievable job at that, and like that's a memory forever, man. Like dropping mm-hmm. your kid off of school. There are those moments that people share as parents with their kids. Not many get to share what you shared with your kid last night or what I share with my daughter last night. I got my ass kicked in the hot dog race.
That's okay.
But she loved every minute of it and thought that was the coolest thing ever. She's going to school. They go, my dad was relish last night in the hot dog race and showing pictures of this stuff. And everybody's like, oh my God, your dad was in the hot dog race. That's mm-hmm. cool. You got to throw out the first pitch. I bet you your old man's bragging to all his friends down at the McDonald's at 5 o'clock this morning when they were sharing a hash brown. Dusty threw out the first pitch to me.
Right.
You ever have that done before, right? Like that's the braggadocious moments, man. And you got to share that with your old man. There's something special about that.
Yeah. Last night was family night at the cave for our organization, which was very fun.
Did we move to Canada?
Yeah, it was a very fun evening because, you know, I got a text from the boss. He's like, hey, you know, family night at the K, you want to throw out the first pitch to your dad? I said, hold on. Seriously? Yeah. Called my dad, lost his breath. I think he passed out for a little bit. He was down at the lake. My stepmother, Mary, texts me almost immediately. She's like, oh, my God, your dad's telling everybody in the world. And I'm like, okay, you know, how hard can this be? You know, how much do we need to prep for this? It's, you know, it's a pitch to the plate. And he started to think about the semantics into it. It's like,
the first thing you think of is you don't want to embarrass yourself, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
All right.
Exactly.
How do I not make an ass of myself? So, well, I've already done that. So what's next?
So there was a lot of cool things, and maybe we can be relatable to the audience here because, you know, you kind of tie in going back to school, having a big parent moment, having a big kid moment. I'll still never forget getting on the bus. I promise you I won't forget it because I know it. When I got on the bus the first time in kindergarten, and everybody's, this is like 1995, 1994, everybody's got the big RVC video cameras that you had to put on a tripod.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody looks like they're shooting Chiefs practice, yeah. But it's just kids on a bus. I remember my mom weeping, and then, you know, everybody else taking pictures, and we're sitting right there in the windows. Anyways, we're going, getting ready to go to the game tomorrow night, or last night, and my dad calls me. He's like, hey, I'll be over about 3:15. I'm like, well, we don't need to leave till about 4:15. I've got to do a hit with Carrington at 5. He's like, no, I'll be there at 3:15. I'm like, okay. He gets out of the car. He's, you know, patting his glove.
He was ready.
He, you know, he had his Hawaiian shirt on that we go to every year. And he goes, you know, I was thinking as we're bringing back that wholesome moment of being a father and a son in the backyard with a baseball mitt and a ball. And I hadn't had that. And I paused for a second, just didn't say anything. And I haven't told him this, but I go, this is what we used to do when I was 10.
Yeah.
I'm 37 now, so 27 years ago. And that's why I tell people, if, you know, today's emotional for you taking your kid to school, or your kid says something, or like, you know, thanks for being my dad, or whatever it may be, you know, relish in it, no pun intended,
right.
But like, know that. And it's about those moments. And so many people, like even Vern, like texted me, he's like, that's so cool that you and your old man get to do this in front of everybody at the stadium.
It is.
You know, my family's there. A bunch of my friends came out. Like, a lot of people that I'm close to made sure they got there because of the moment that it was. And there was a lot of different moments that really sunk into my brain over last night. And one of them was when my dad started to dissect what we had done in our lives in that stadium. And it was wild. He took me to Nolan Ryan's last game.
That's cool. Do you remember that?
I don't. I just know that he said that they kicked his ass. He was like 41, though. We went and saw Cal Ripken's last game at Kauffman on my birthday, and I got Cal Ripken's autograph.
I remember covering that game, and, you know, it was like I was working for Don Fortune at the time, and he wanted to interview Cal Ripken, and I was his producer. And I'm like, all right. So I went down there. I got it all set up, and the coolest moment was Fortune's wife was in love with Cal Ripken Jr. And she got to be in there for that interview. Mm. And to see when you can connect people to like stuff like that, that's really cool. And that's what it's all about. So the age difference is you were attending that game. I was working.
Right. It was, I believe it was my 7th birthday or my 8th birthday. And my dad kind of knew how to get there and kind of, you know, do all the things. And it's still one of my favorite moments of my life. And I had a book, and it was called Cal Being Cal. I'll send you a picture today. It's still on my entertainment center in my bedroom. And I go down there, and he's my favorite player at the time. I was getting ready to, you know, doing all these, watching all these Cal Ripken great moments. And I go down there, and I've got his book, and I'm, you know, yay high. Everybody else has got a Royals hat or a baseball, and they're all grown adults. And I'm like, Cal, he signed this. It's my birthday. It's August 7th, 1996, I think. And I'm like, will you sign this book? And he looks at me and goes, I'll get to you, kid. And I was like, oh, my God. And all of a sudden, he pulls me up on the dugout. My dad stayed in the seat. He goes, this is something you can go do. And some people went, oh, nice parenting. But it was fine. And he pulls me up on the dugout. And the first thing I do is I take those old cameras. We had to wind it, click, wind, click. And I
disposable took camera.
Yeah. And I did that 3 times. And he goes,
those are coming back now.
Good. And I said, he goes, what's your name? I said, Dusty. I said, okay. He goes, my name's Cal. And I said, I know. And he goes, what brings you here today? I said, you. And he goes, oh, well, I'm glad that I'm here for you. And he just signed the book, Cal Ripken Jr.
That's cool.
And he shut it. And I went back, and I'm as white as that whiteboard behind you, Bob. And I sit down, and my dad goes, so, how'd it go? And I just didn't say a word. I look straight forward. I just hand him over the book, and he opens it up. And to this day, I can still smell the Sharpie coming off the page.
Yeah.
And my dad just goes, are you kidding me? And I said, I'll take it back now. And so then he's talking about that. We were at the game when they won the pennant against the Oakland Athletics, against the Baltimore Orioles.
Yeah.
A lot of moments that we had, and he goes, this might be tops. And we went and saw Bruce Springsteen together. We've done a lot together in life, whether it's him throwing me off a vendor tube. And then last night, family night at the K, We're in the waiting room. We're in the press box or the press conference room. And all of a sudden, everything's fine. Everything's great. I'm fine. I'm not listening to the crowd. And then we get to the top step. And all my friends are texting me, look left, look left. I look to the booth up top where you guys are at, start like, you know, raising the fist. And then the nerves kick. And then we're walking down there, and then there's Q over the dugout. This is what made my entire night. And he's sitting over the dugout, and I walk by, and it's like, you said to throw high, right? And he goes, hey, that's right. And he goes, hey, nice to finally meet you. And I was like, nice to meet you too. And my dad immediately behind me, she goes, and I'm his dad.
That's the best part. Yeah, that's
like, and I was like,
because I've been there with my mother.
Yeah.
I'm the mother.
Yeah. And he just goes, and I'm his dad. And he was like, yeah. He goes, I'm going to try to catch it. And then, you know, Vern sees it and he's like, you know what? You fired that thing in there and your old man didn't drop it. But that's what it was all about, because I go from having that experience to hearing you, how great of an impact you've been to your kids and how happy they were, even though you lose the race, you win.
I didn't lose. I got my ass kicked.
Yeah, you did get smoked. A lot of people reached out and said, you got to roast Bob. I was like, well, he didn't plan on winning. He just wanted to have fun. And then you win over everybody because, and I'm sure Nate's boy was like, Dad, that was awesome. I'm sure Cody's kids were like, Dad, that was great. But your kid's a little bit older than theirs and they get to understand a little bit more. And then the girl that sang the national anthem, I watched her mom go pick her up at the Diamond Club. And she's just like she had just watched the saddest movie ever. But those were tears of joy and tears of pride. And that's what last night kind of brought me in, is that this was bigger than baseball. This was bigger than the fifth straight win. This was bigger than the Royals making these moves. This was me and my dad and my family, my friends, all in one moment, all in one place. I never would have thought it was possible.
Yeah, no, it was a lot of fun last night, right? Yeah. And really, I didn't, you know, like, you know, I'm almost 50 now. And so the moments start to kind of all blend together. You don't remember what you did from one day to the next. But I'll never forget walking back up last night to where we were sitting, and my daughter come running over to me. She goes, Dad, that was so cool. That was awesome. Look at all these great pictures I got and video. I go, yeah, I got smoke. She goes, I don't care. That was a lot of fun. You got to run in a hot dog suit, man. And that, like, you're my dad. And I'm like, all right, that's really cool, right? To hear your kid be proud of you. And that's all she wanted to talk about for the rest of the night. And I'm sure she's talking about it at school today. And right. Yeah, I did. I got my ass kicked because like Nate and the other guy, they like started sprinting. I didn't realize I could run that fast in that hot dog suit. I thought I couldn't get going, and I never did. And then once they took off, I'm like, oh, damn, I'm screwed.
Yeah, you know quickly.
And I'm like, all right, I'm not going to catch them, so I'll just, you know, figure out what I can do. But I finished. It was fun, and it made my daughter's night. And that's really all that matters. I mean, at the end of the day, I know I would have liked to have won. And I don't know that I'll do the hot dog race again because that did smell. But thank goodness I had a shower ready for me. As soon as the race was over, I was whisked away.
I showered off.
And I changed the clothes and I came back after a 10-minute cooling off period. And I thanked all the supporters and they gave me a nice little ovation when I walked back. And I said, hey, I was late coming back as well because, you know, I was last in the race. And so got the shower, got all cleaned off, did a post-game interview or two. And, you know, why did you suck? I said, because I'm slow, but my daughter loved it. And that's all that matters, you know.
And I win at the end of the day. Fesco and Dusty, Bradsby, Rainer Garage, Doors of Kansas City, Lift Masters, patented MyQ technology.
And I did, and that's really what it was. Like, I felt like a total loser until I saw my daughter. She goes, Dad, that was awesome.
And is the number one professionally installed garage door opener. Find them at RainerKC.com. Mac, Bob, Dusty, 96.5 The Fan. We come back with the Royals win last night and what those five in a row have done significant damage to everybody around them. This is 96.5 The Fan. You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
Oh, I'll tell you what, football season is quickly approaching, a little over 2 weeks to that first game, and you've heard us talk a lot about FanDuel, America's number one sports book. Well, we have something a little bit different for you. Now through September 22nd, all FanDuel customers can bet $5 and get a 3-week free trial of NFL Sunday Ticket from YouTube and YouTube TV. Then, with a YouTube TV base plan, you'll be able to watch every regular season Sunday afternoon out-of-market game. All you need is a Google account and a current form of payment, and you can cancel at any time. So just visit FanDuel.com/610Bob. That's FanDuel.com/610Bob to download America's number one sportsbook. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 96.5 The Fan. 21 and present in Kansas, full price of NFL Sunday Ticket will automatically be charged seasonally after free trial. No refunds, terms, restrictions, and embargoes apply. FanDuel is offering online sports wagering in Kansas under an agreement with Kansas Kansas Star Casino, LLC. Gambling problem? Getting help is your best bet. Call 1-800-522-4700 or visit ksgamblinghelp.com. Get a little shout out this morning to my friend Marty, who's taking his kid Maverick to college in Arizona. They're driving down there. He's going to be playing at Ottawa University. And surprise, you know, their home field is the Rangers Royal Spring Training Complex, and Ottawa University has a campus down there. So Maverick, they're listening on the way to Arizona on the Odyssey app. Maverick hit 500, driving 75 runs and hit 40 bombs. And I'm sure somebody will sign you.
And Bob knows Dayton Moore.
That's right. I can get that done.
He also knows J.J. Piccolo.
I can get that done. I know people with other organizations as well. Maybe you don't want to play for the White Sox, but I could probably get you a look-see there.
And we know Matt Cotrero. He'll join us basically, what, this time tomorrow?
Yeah,
so little, in 24
yeah, 9
hours.
Yeah. Starting to figure 24 out, hours away.
Starting to figure out this radio thing.
Couple of texts coming in on the text line. Yeah. I'm going to let you read the text about the hot dog race because I don't want it coming from me like I'm some
biased jerk.
Yeah, because some people are complaining about the way that they line up the wieners.
Okay. From the 913, how was the smell?
Well, Tammy from the West has texted me, described the smell, and I said no. There's a reason why I showered immediately after.
Fair enough. The other one is from the 913. Different 913. Bob got screwed. No stagger for the outside lane. Protest the results, Bob.
They're actually not wrong about that. The reason Relish never wins is the way that they line up the hot dogs.
Yeah.
It's not just a go where you want. Ketchup, mustard, relish, they line up, and they tell relish, you got to be careful. It's a tight turn. Look, I was way behind. I was getting smoked anyway. Mm-hmm. But the relish guy always has to worry about the tarp. Mm-hmm. He has a tougher run. So if you're wagering at the game on the hot dog race, the best odds are ketchup and mustard, not because they're the fastest runners. They've got the easiest track out there. And then they don't let you, cut through the grass. Because I did think about cutting through the grass last night, but I would have been tased by Trevor. I didn't want to do that last night.
Yeah, he'd have been,
because somebody else says, you should have cut through the outfield.
That is literally a definition of get off my lawn.
I love the fact that somebody's breaking down the hot dog race, though, and knows that there is no stagger for the outside lane like that. You're screwed.
That's right.
Another 2-2. Ripped down the left field line. Fair ball bouncing into the left field corner. There's your loud sound from Salvador Perez. Winston to score from second. Now Pasquantino comes around third. Relay's cut off. Pasquantino slides in safely. Salvador Perez pumps his fist at second. A two-run double. And it's now 5-2 Royals in the bottom of the seventh inning.
That hit couldn't have came at a better time. Salvador Perez
knocked it open.
And I don't know if I'd seen Vinny run that fast in my entire life as he went, first to the home?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
On the Salvador Perez double, very well placed down the left field line. Royals would then go at 5-2 after that game being 3-2. Lugo got kind of tattered for a little bit there. But again, we talked about this earlier. It's nice to see that not every night Bobby Witt Jr. has to be the saving grace or go 3-for-4 and have three, RBIs and have, two stolen bases and one of the hits is a home run. Last night, he kind of took a back seat, obviously still had a hit down the third base line, which is one of the runs that scored on that Salvador Perez double. Mm-hmm. Vinny then singles. Salvador Perez knocks both of those guys in. And Salvador Perez, your captain, that's why he is that man. Bobby Witt, take a night off. Not necessarily a full night off, but just you don't have to do everything yourself. I'll get this one for us. Paul DeJong hits a home run last night as well, had a double as well. It wasn't a Bobby Witt Jr. Mm-hmm. per se, showcase night, even though those nights can happen every single time you go out there, which is why I think we'll see more and more people get out there. But last night was one of those nights where you didn't have to have the superstar. You got to have the captain who had two big hits, three big RBIs last night, and it's nice to see that this team moving forward into the playoff picture, more and more deeper and deeper into that picture, that's why they're there, because it's not just a one-trick pony. It's not just, Zach Greinke on the mound. It's not just Mike Sweeney in the lineup. It's Salvador Perez, Bobby Witt Jr., Vinny Pasquantino, Michael Massey, Paul DeJong, whoever else there is, MJ Melendez. It's the rotation of Lugo, Reagan, Singer, Waka, Lorenzen, Marsh when he comes back. And that's why this team is here, and that's why they're now four and a half games above Boston. They're tied with the Twins in two games out of first place. They're three games out of the best record in the American League. And this has been one hell of a season for the Royals to remember, and it's only August 20th.
I kind of like that Bobby Witt really wasn't involved a whole lot last night. That's a good thing for the Royals. They're going to need that in the postseason, because when you get to the playoffs, well, they're going to take your best player out. We all know Bobby Witt Jr. is the best player on the Royals team, right?
Yeah.
And so what the other team is going to do, they're going to try to eliminate Bobby Witt. They're going to pitch around him. They're not going to allow him to have that kind of impact. So then you ask yourself, who's going to step it up? Who's going to be that dynamic bat that's going to replace Bobby Witt, because these other teams are going to try to pitch around him? That's just what happens in the postseason, right? Can it be Salvi? He's got the experience. He's been there. He's done that. Vinny doesn't know what he doesn't know. He continues to hit like this. Nobody's stopping him in the postseason, right?
Right.
I like watching Michael Massey play. I think Paul DeJong has been a very nice addition into this ball club right now. So there are some other guys out there. It's cool to see somebody else stepping it up other than Bobby Witt, because in order to win a world championship, there are going to be nights in the postseason where somebody else is going to have to be big and somebody else is going to have to step it up. And I think we kind of saw that a lot last night.
Yeah, it's great, too, because there's a reason why the Royals are different than they were in years past. Obviously, last year they won 56 games, might as well have been six games. And this year they've won 70 already. And the reason for that is you heard a lot of people on MLB Network in the offseason talk about there's a team that's made a lot of moves and teams that have made a lot of educated decisions. And that team is the Kansas City Royals. This was Seth Lugo on why he chose Kansas City.
Well, I saw their infield really as a pitcher. You know, you got Bobby and you got Vinny. I knew a little bit about Mike Hale, but I didn't realize he was as good as he is. You know, I know the stadium's awesome. It's a big park, great for pitchers. But, you know, I thought they put up really professional bats against me last year. You know, we saw the record coming in, and you know, they didn't play like it. And I knew they were going in the right direction.
You love to hear that sort of thing. When you bring somebody in like Seth Lugo, who really hadn't really been a starting pitcher in his career, and he looks at not the situation of maybe the contract, which helped. Got a good coin.
Gave him an opportunity. Yeah. Like, it's amazing when you give somebody an opportunity and then they take advantage of it, right? What a great move by both parties.
But it's also awesome when you see that there was an intelligence factor into it as well. Yes, you're coming to Kansas City. Not the biggest, most pizzazz town, but it's really cool if you want to come check it out. I'll be your tour guide and show you some cool places. But he looks at it as like, I looked at their infield and I looked at their ballpark. I can be successful here. Who outside of Tarik Skubal has been the most successful American League pitcher in baseball this year? It's Seth Lugo.
Seth Lugo.
He was a Cy Young candidate, still is. He's going to finish in the top three in the American League. He damn near started the All-Star game, and it goes back to, I saw what their infield was, I saw what their stadium is, and I liked what they were telling me, and it all makes sense now, and it gives you that sort of that drive and that sort of, you know, kick in the shorts when you go into the rest of the season thinking, okay, this team is all in. This team knows what they have. They know they have a superstar. They know they have a veteran in Salvador Perez, and I think they have a legitimate two superstars on this roster, possibly three, if you want to count Bobby, Sal, and Cole Reagans, because what we did here in the offseason was that, yeah, the captain comes back. Bobby Witt Jr. is going to merge superstar, and they might have a left-handed Jacob deGrom and Cole Reagans.
Yeah, see, that's where I look at it right now. When I start talking about superstars on this team, you need three or four, and Chris Bassett, I think, alluded to that yesterday, the Toronto Blue Jay pitcher, about why things went south there. We don't have enough superstars on the team, and I started to think about like the superstars that are on the Royals right now. Bobby's a legit superstar. Salvi's the steady veteran. He's a Hall of Famer. He's always going to be there. And Cole Reagans is the other superstar truly on this team right now. And I think that bodes well going into the postseason, obviously, but also going into the offseason. You know, you've got two superstars in Salvador Perez, you know, two superstars that are going to be here a while, in my opinion. And Salvador Perez is here until he wants to be here. And then you can add to that arsenal. Go out and get a superstar outfielder. Maybe you pick up one more superstar pitcher. Maybe you get a superstar out of the bullpen. And I don't know if it's going to come in free agency. I don't think the free agent class, from what I'm hearing, is going to be all that great, other than, you know, what's his name with the Mets right now? Why am I blanking on his name? And Juan Soto. And so I think the Royals are going to have to be creative this offseason. I think they're going to have to add to their roster via trade. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised if Brady Singer is a guy that ultimately, Pete Alonso, who I was thinking of.
Oh, okay.
If Brady Singer may be part of a trade package to get better, you're going to have to trade good parts potentially to get even better, just like you did with Zach Greinke to take that next step. But the more superstars you can load up with and the more dudes that want to come here and play with Bobby Witt Jr., the better it's going to be. This is just the beginning of what I think is going to be long-term success with Bobby Witt and this Royals organization.
I'm just happy it's all the way to August 20th and we're still doing this.
Exactly, yeah.
Somebody says, can we please tell JJ to sign Vinny long-term like yesterday?
Yeah.
We'll see. We shall see.
You don't have to sign everybody.
No, not everybody. Some people like to.
Bobby Witt was worthy of a signing long-term. Salvi.
There was interesting, as we transition from Royals to the Kansas City Chiefs, because this is where you can hear Royals and Chiefs on 96.5 The Fan.
And if they play at the same time, we'll play both games over each other. Mm-hmm. So you'll hear both of them at the same time.
Yeah, you'd hear, touchdown, Kansas City, there's a drive. How cool would that be?
Yeah, using a Cran bat to score a touchdown.
I wouldn't be dry. We had a hot seat debate earlier, if you missed it, because ESPN wrote an article about every single player on every single roster who might be on the hot seat. I'm going to spoil it for you really fast. They had Rushy Rice as the player for the Kansas City Chiefs, Pete on the hot seat. I understand. Mm-hmm. I know where they're coming from. It's not your traditional hot seat, in my opinion, whereas, like, if this guy doesn't perform, he's fired. I don't think that's what there is. It's not like a Mike McCarthy, Nick Sirianni, Brian Daboll, Sean McDermott type of hot seat. It's more of, like, who's being, like, who's a watchable guy that needs to do something this year? And theirs was Rushy Rice.
Mm-hmm.
Mine, in the way that I think they're trying to describe it, is a guy like Hollywood Brown. Hollywood Brown is doing what we're going to see for the next couple of years, wide receiver free agent that's not quite at the top of the market, maybe not second tier, but is a third tier guy that could, if produces, could get a big contract. And Hollywood Brown is one of those guys that has two things to prove, and right now he's already proven one. He's injury prone, and he wants to have a big year. He's had Kyler Murray, Lamar Jackson, other quarterbacks that don't make sense, like a Colt McCoy in Arizona, whatever. You can have your opinions of Hollywood Brown. Some people say, well, he's supposed to be a lot better than he was out of Oklahoma. He hasn't really panned out. He's had one healthy year. He's hurt right now, probably back week three. He's got to prove to people that he can't get hurt consistently, and he's got to prove that he can be that wide receiver. And he has the right opportunity to do it in this system. That's what the Chiefs kind of do. You've seen it with Sammy Watkins. You've seen it with Juju Smith-Schuster. Now it's Hollywood Brown's turn.
Yes!
And when you look at Hollywood Brown and what he can do, when do we say Watson? Oh, you heard Watkins. Okay.
Yeah,
you just click on that trigger.
He doesn't want to miss it anymore because the text line is just mean to him.
Great. Yeah, well, you know what? It's okay. Be nice to people. We'll talk about that at the end of the show. But I think Hollywood Brown would be my ESPN hot seat article because he's trying to make money. He's trying to prove he can stay healthy, which unfortunately he's going to miss two games at least.
Yeah.
And he has an opportunity in this sort of offense with a quarterback that they have that he could put those numbers up and cool that seat down quite quickly. If he goes out there and has 1,000 yards, 7 touchdowns, and has 75 receptions, that's a damn good year. And somebody next year is going to be like, hey, what? How much money do you want? Let's have a conversation.
I don't think there's really anybody on the hot seat for the Chiefs this year. Like, I don't understand how the Rashee Rice one comes up on a hot seat, you know, maybe because you're just looking for something. But the name that immediately comes to my mind as hot seat is not because of what I expect out of him. It's because he did not sign an extension and said he wants to kind of play this thing out. And that's Nick Bolton. I think Nick Bolton, man, this is kind of, it's not even a make it or break it type season, but it's the type of season where Bolton has the opportunity, Dust Man, to get paid this offseason, whether it's here in Kansas City or somewhere else. If he stays healthy and does 150 tackles like he seemingly does every year, Nick Bolton's going to get himself a nice payday. So I think it's a hot seat from a player perspective and the pressure that he's putting on himself to go out there and achieve greatness. That's where I come up with Nick Bolton on my hot seat.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think that's a great one.
Thank you.
Of course. I'd have Clyde Edwards-Helaire on the hot seat as well for the Chiefs. I mean, this is a guy who's trying to make it as a RB2 in the NFL, let alone this team. I think Carson Steele's surging. Clyde's hurt. That's not going to help his, you know, case here. I don't know. If he doesn't make it here, I don't know if he's got really a spot in the league. So I'd say hot seat for Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
See, I look at Clyde Edwards-Helaire as a guy that I don't even really know that's on the roster this year. And that's not in a bad way because I'm not setting the expectation level for Clyde Edwards-Helaire at all. I think whatever we get out of Clyde Edwards-Helaire is going to be kind of like what we got out of Jerick McKinnon, right? Maybe it wasn't there every week, but man, when he produced, he produced. And that's kind of what I'm looking like in Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I think he can be that type of player for us, kind of that third down running back back, that third option in the backfield that a lot of people just aren't talking about. Like, I think Clyde Edwards-Helaire can have an impact this year on a limited basis, but when you need him, he's there. He was very effective in the red zone. And, I mean, go back and look at his red zone numbers.
Oh, yeah.
He's one of the more effective running backs that the Chiefs had in a while inside the 20.
But if he doesn't execute in those moments, then I don't know how long his career is going to be. I think it's a big year for that. Other guys in the hot seat for the Chiefs, Justin Reed, Trey, Creed, Noah Gray, Justin Ross.
What if Creed and Trey get their deals done before the season?
Yeah.
You take them off that
list,
right?
Yeah.
Because what I'm being told is they're working towards the deals. It's slow. They're making minor progress here or there. Nobody's in a rush or anything like that. But let's just say they get these deals done before the start of the season. Are we putting them on the hot seat list? I don't think that we are. Maybe on the hot seat from a fan's perspective. You're making how much money? You better never miss a block. You know, that guy. But I don't know that I think they're off the hot seat. I think Bolton, man, to me was the obvious answer. Mm-hmm. And we both came up with it, you know, not talking to each other about that. But I think Bolton is the obvious answer because that guy really is betting on himself this season.
Yeah, it's tough because that position is expendable, I guess would be a proper terminology used, unless you have like, you know, Bobby Wagner, guys like that, you know. But I mean, Nick Bolton is the captain of the defense. And like we said, one thing you got to do is prove that you can do it.
Tyrann Mathieu was such a leader on this team, and they just let him walk out the door, right?
And like, I think he was a gun for hire, too. I think he was a guy to come in, give the defense a facelift, have an attitude.
He was also a guy that after 3 years, you're ready for him to move on.
Right.
Right? Like he kind of wore out his welcome from a defense. I mean, you saw it on the field. You know, he played hot, if you will. And so, you know, it's time to move on. Justin Reed came in. Probably time to move on from after Justin. But that's what this organization has done in such a good way. I know for people who, like, want to invest in a jersey, you're kind of confused. Like, Mahomes, Kelsey, Jones, you know, there's a handful of guys that you can buy and feel good about. But, like, this organization just moves on from guys. And there hasn't been one player that this organization has moved on from in the Brett Veach era as general manager that you're sitting there saying to yourself, boy, I really wish we had that guy. We would have won more Super Bowls. The answer is nobody.
I have a question for you, too, because we had it earlier. We didn't get to it. Do you think, as of right now in your life, that Patrick Mahomes ever wears another jersey?
I think it's hard to say no just because eventually somebody thinks you're done, and another organization will say, we'll take you. I never thought Tom Brady would wear another jersey.
Yeah, same. I never thought that either. Yeah, I think, look at history. I think the answer leans yes. I
mean, the answer leans yes more than it leans no.
What guys didn't?
Yeah.
That's really the question.
Right. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is wearing another jersey right before our eyes.
How many other jerseys did Brett Favre wear? I mean, come on.
Everyone.
Exactly.
Sometimes none. Mm. Sometimes just Crocs.
And a watch and a mole.
Got those Wranglers.
Wasn't wearing those either.
I mean, Matthew Stafford, Jared Goff. Like, this is a transient league. And just when you think, oh, my God, that guy's never going to play for anybody again, Joe Montana shows up in Kansas City, right? Like, so I would say the odds are better that Patrick Mahomes wears another jersey.
Yeah.
Now, there's a good chance he may not, but, like, you could see him at 47 years old, and Arizona's like, we'll take a chance on him.
Absolutely.
And the Chiefs are like, all right, we've got his son starting now, so we're kind of ready to move on. You know, like, one of those type of things. Like, I mean, if I'm a betting man, you're giving me the odds. I would say the odds are probably a little bit greater that Patrick does finish his career somewhere else, because it seems like everybody does. It's just kind of the way people do business, right? Russell Wilson. How many times dude change jerseys?
Yes.
My God, Justin Fields.
I mean, 3 or 4 years, I think that's when the contract's up. Josh Allen. I mean, are we having that conversation? The Bills done. They still haven't made a Super Bowl. Is he going to be in a new jersey? I mean, that's just, and he's great.
Yeah. Yeah, Josh Allen could be another one as well. You know, you just start to think, like, Troy Aikman never did.
Oh, that's a good, there we go.
Neither did Dan Marino or John Elway.
Elway absolutely did. He was a Colt and refused to play for him.
Okay. He never wore their jersey. Staubach.
Eli.
Bradshaw.
Yeah, Eli never did.
And Dan Fouts and Bart Starr. And then the honorable mention is Troy Aikman. But Troy Aikman probably would have if he didn't get, like, medically, like,
if he knew how to spell his name,
Yeah, they were just like, hey, man, like, you can't have another one or we're going to scoop you off the field. So he was like, I'm out. It's tough, man.
It's tough because I feel like Patrick, like, I mean, he's saying also, and doing all the right things.
Those,
like,
other guys that you mentioned, though, I ask you this, and maybe I'm wrong. Are they as tied into their city as Patrick Mahomes?
I imagine Brady was.
Right. But did he have investments?
Like TB12,
not in, like, but I mean, Mahomes' wife has the current.
Yeah.
Mahomes has the Royals. And
yeah, that there are differences.
So like, I wonder if like those sort of investments into that, because obviously he could sell his 1% of the Royals quickly, right, like overnight, you know, Brittany could do whatever. She could stay here, still run the team and live
still
somewhere
stay
else.
Here. I mean, and you know, do all your things, right?
People already do that around us.
Right.
Man, I find it hard to believe he plays anywhere else.
I don't disagree with that.
Because he's actually won tons of titles here.
Yeah, there is that. But Joe Montana won 4 in San Francisco. Mm-hmm.
Roethlisberger never played anywhere else.
No, nobody wanted him, I guess, at the end, right?
Well, I mean, still, he played in Pittsburgh, won 2 titles, and never played anywhere else. Was happy enough there. So
yeah basketball, it's rare too. You know, Jordan, LeBron.
Yeah, LeBron's Duncan's played for everybody. Tim Duncan, yeah.
Kobe, one of the few.
Yep.
Somebody says Carson Wentz.
Carson Wentz played for a lot of teams, yeah.
Yeah.
Nick Foles.
We wrap this show up. We get back into the Royals, get a look ahead about tonight, because one of the most important players or superstars pitches tonight, according to Mr. Bob Fesco. You can hear him, myself, Dusty Likens, Mac Morey, on this station that we call 96.5 The Fan, and it's the only place you need to be for your sports radio here in Kansas City on 96.5 The Fan. This is Fesco and Dusty.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
Last week, my wife called me. She goes, guess what? We're refinancing with Golden Oak Lending. I go, why? What's going on? She said, Tom called and said the rates have dropped 1%, so we're going to refinance, and we're going to get a great low rate. We're going to save a ton of money, and we're going to be living like kings again because Golden Oak Lending was there. And I'm like, all right, I'm in. And I thought to myself, that's the beauty of Golden Oak Lending. When the rates drop, they call their customers and say, hey, the rates have dropped. It may be a great time to refinance. You can choose to refinance. You can choose not to refinance. It's all about what you want to do at Golden Oak Lending. But the fact of the matter is, they reach out to you. You don't have to chase them. You don't have to call them and find out if rates are dropping. When the rates drop and it makes sense for you, the phone rings and it's Golden Oak Lending saying, hey, the rates have dropped. How would you like to refinance your loan right now? And then if you say yes, you get the refinance done and you skip 2 months of a mortgage payment. And that's exciting as well. Skipping 2 months of a mortgage payment is wonderful. Think about it. 60 days where you don't have to make that house payment. It is so good. And so if this sounds good to you and you're thinking about your mortgage right now, good. Call Golden Oak Lending and take their free mortgage checkup. It is risk-free. There is no paperwork. There's no credit card. Just call 913-890-GOLD. Tell them all about your financial needs, your wants, and all your wishes. And Golden Oak will see if they can come up with a plan for you. If they have something that works, they'll let you know about it. If not, they'll let you know, hey, it may be better in 6 months as well, and you can refinance then. But call them and take that free mortgage checkup. No paperwork and no credit card. Just call 913-890-GOLD. That's 913-890-GOLD, and let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
Moving on Kirk Cousins' birthday playlist. I believe his birthday was yesterday, or is it today?
Good question. I don't know.
I know today is Carrington Harrison's birthday. Shout out. Happy birthday, Carrington Harrison.
Yeah, happy birthday, C-Dot.
Always nice to see us Leos unite. That's an astrology term there, Bob. When's your birthday?
April 19th, Aries.
Aries. Oh, man, you were one day away.
I know. My mother-in-law's is on the 20th. 420,
bro. That's my birthday, man.
That's my mom's birthday.
Really?
Yeah.
Couldn't be more
easy to remember.
I'm actually glad I'm not born on that day, to be honest with you.
That's true.
That's good.
Yeah, so.
I think that's Hitler's birthday, too, so that's probably good.
Good God.
That's true. I know that because of my mom. She always says that.
96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas. You're not going to be able to hand it together when we go on video. People famous on my birthday that have the same birthday, Mike Trout, Sidney Crosby. Love it. Sean Barber chimed in on my throw, by the way. I don't know if you knew this or not. Barber, my guy, your guy, great guy, everybody's guy. Your throw is strong. I like the passion in your post-throw celebration. It's just a little bit high, so I'm going to have to call it a ball.
Oh, come on, shop!
But he goes, I believe an aggressive batter would have swung and missed, so that becomes a strike.
See, it's all that conversation we had about how that being Bobby Witt's kryptonite.
Yeah.
I kind of combined all those words into one.
Right.
You were thinking, all right, I could strike Bobby Witt out with this high heater, baby. Let's go.
Yeah, and then 425 feet and a neck injury after watching that thing zip out of the field. This was Lugo on his on what Bobby Witt Jr. and what he sees.
Hey, it's hard to say. I mean, the
at-bats he puts up, the way he swings it, I mean, every hit he gets, it's like 111 off the bat. I mean, that's a soft one. But he does it every day. It doesn't matter who's pitching, where they're pitching him, in the zone, out of the zone. I mean, he's the best player I've ever seen.
He's the best baseball player I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
And I grew up watching Ken Griffey Jr., Barry Larkin, Tony Gwynn.
I was watching Ken Griffey Jr. highlights the other day.
Isn't it awesome?
It makes you just upset that it wasn't more. You know?
Yeah.
Like, why couldn't he be the one that broke the home run record instead of Bonds?
He was going to.
You know?
He was going to.
I think no matter where you grew up, Ken Griffey Jr. was your favorite baseball player of that era. Like, how could he not be? The hat on backwards, the youthful smile,
yeah,
always happy to be there. Like, just a great, great, great guy. And, like, the perfect role model that you could have had.
Right. And that's why I want to end the show with that audio. I planned this, you know, looking at the 9 o'clock hour. And when I walked around the stadium last night and looked around, every kid that was 13 or younger wearing a Royals jersey,
mm-hmm,
it was one name. It's number 7, Witt Jr. Whether it was the KC Connect jersey, whether it was the Royals white, whether it was the Royals, you know, blue, powder blue, it was Witt 7.
And the best part about that is now you can invest in that jersey, yep, and not have to worry that he's leaving.
Correct.
Like, that is a great purchase. Also, like the gentleman I saw last night wearing the Angel Barroa number 4 jersey.
Hold on, Hill. Rookie of the year.
I'm going to tell you something, man. We had a pretty good number 4 come after Barrow, and he's still rolling that one out.
Mm-hmm.
Get a new jersey, pal.
Yep. Originally, it was 7.
Yes, it was. Then it turned to 4. I tried to buy an Alex Gordon 7 one time at an auction, got outbid for that, and I got outbid for a Carlos Beltran 33 one time because that was his original number.
Yep.
I wanted both of those.
You posted a great picture of a jersey yesterday, Paul.
Beer 69.
Was that the Oriole jersey?
Yeah.
He was in front of me in the ticket line.
He was right by there.
That's right. Yeah, Beer 69.
Beer 69 and an Orioles jersey yesterday.
Great.
Yeah.
But I wanna bring this up because I'm super excited to see this, because how many times in our lives, and it ties into, of course, Patrick Mahomes, but how many times in our lives do we, and we did this topic on Monday, I believe, as well, or maybe it was last Friday, that we, you know, you root for superstars because you wish they played for your team. And now we're going to see a decade of children who are always going to have Mahomes and Bobby Witt Jr. as superstars in both of their respective sports, but playing for their team. And when I looked around the ballpark last night, I was like, okay, yeah, there's a few Rendon, Trout jerseys of guys that are Angels fans.
There were more Angel jerseys there than I thought. I didn't realize there were that many Angel fans.
Couldn't imagine it. And when I put my brain to work, which is tough to do, I'm thinking to myself, how many ballparks, if I went to go watch the Royals, and maybe I'll do this next year, just go to random, go to a White Sox game, go to a Cubs game, go to a, you know, Rockies game, and maybe go somewhere else as well. Get a good sample size of 4 or 5 parks.
Are the Royals playing in those parks? Okay.
And how many Bobby Witt Jr. jerseys I'll see? And then when I see those people, I'll be like, hey, are you a Kansas City Royals fan? No, I'm a Bobby Witt Jr. fan, because I remember when I got to get out of school early and the Royals played the Mariners, and I was super excited. The teachers hated me that day because I was so excited. I was more excited to go see Ken Griffey Jr. and Randy Johnson play than to go watch Kevin Apier pitch against the Seattle Mariners. And now I think we're starting to see that with Bobby Witt Jr. And you hear Seth Lugo say that he's the best baseball player I've ever seen. There are names like Bryce Harper. There are names like Shohei Ohtani, Ronald Acuna. There are names out there in baseball. But now one of the names that everybody is starting to back up and love is Bobby Witt Jr. And eventually, Bob, like we used to imitate the Ken Griffey Jr. swing, like we used to see Ken Griffey Jr. all the time, like we used to wear a backwards hat. We just talked to Eric Hosmer last week, and he said his son's a Bobby Witt Jr. fan, doesn't even know it yet. And Eric Hosmer had one of the most popular, iconic haircuts in Kansas City. I said, how long until little Hos gets the Hosmer cut?
Right.
He goes, he ain't getting the Hos cut. He's going to get the Bobby Witt Jr. mullet.
Yep.
Bobby Witt Jr. is a polarizing.
I want to let him have that.
Oh, I'm sure Casey's gonna be just fine with him having a little mullet. It's in these days, man. Go look at all the kids back
it
to
is.
School today.
No,
I bet you
it is.
Ask your wife how many mullets she saw today. Yeah. I bet it's over 10.
Yeah, there's a lot.
Oh,
out
I guarantee.
Yeah. I just see the kids running around with my daughter's crew. You know,
and like this is it.
The mullet is a flop in the front. Yeah.
Even Kyle Shanahan is rocking a mullet nowadays.
I know. I saw that. Kyle Shanahan is growing out his hair, and it was a big story on ESPN or NFL Network this
growing
morning.
Growing out his hair.
You know what he's trying to do? He's trying to grow out the losing.
Well, he can sustain a hair. He can sustain a hair length, but he can't sustain a second half lead.
That's right. How long does that mullet last? Does he go like Mike Gundy?
I hope not. Mike Gundy's a turd.
He really is.
I kind of like Kyle Shanahan. I just think he's a weirdo for having a customized flat bill hat. You got to grow up at some point.
You do.
But anyways, Bobby Witt Jr.
No, actually, you don't. I mean, we...
You're not wearing a flat bill.
No, I'm not.
You're popping your collar.
I have a current one that's a flat bill hat. But I mean, like, why do we have to grow up? Like you can be an adult, but you can still enjoy being young.
Yeah, but there's ways about it.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to go get, like, you don't order your clothes from a clothing design and say, I want it custom made to look like this, and I want to, you know, have my
own. No.
He's doing that with the hat. Either way. Somebody says, I want to see Bob with the broccoli haircut.
I don't know if I can get, I mean, it would take too long to get there.
If I grow my hair out, I look like Corey Matthews. So it's not a good look. But wrapping this whole day up and what the Royals have, which is a 5-game lead, or a 5-game win streak, a 4.5 game lead in the last wild card spot, now tie for the second one, tie for second in their division, 2 games out of first place with Cleveland. You don't do that without Bobby Witt Jr. That's what those type of athletes do. That's why that guy was okay signing with Kansas City. That's why when Vern said you get this kid in his 20s and you get him in his prime youth of baseball, that's why you do that. That's why these teams succeed. And that's why guys like Seth Lugo, Cole Reagans, and everybody's bought in, because it starts with one and it spreads like wildfire. And now that entire locker room is on fire. And the Royals go tonight with Cole Reagans on the mound, one of their other superstars, looking to win the series and then get to the sweep.
Yeah, that's what it is all about. Sweep the Anaheim Angels, send them back to Los Angeles, get 3 wins under your belt, and then 20 days of glorious baseball begins against great teams. It's going to tell us a lot about this ball club.
The show goes fast. Because 3 guys here have fun. Mac Morey, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens. As I tell you every single day, and I'll do it as long as I can do this show, go do nice things for somebody. You never know. It could change their day, week, month, or year. It is simply cool to care. Kansas City, stay kind and stay safe. Cody and Gold coming up next here on 10-2 on 96.5 The Fan.
Listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking? I'm James Coe. Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.